That's right, that's why they do the committee of the whole.
All right.
So it's.
When before Larry.
But see, I.
Senate Transportation Committee will come to order. We have two bills on the agenda. Senate File 1511, Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and members, Senate File 1511 is the Transportation Federal Economic Recovery Bill. We talked about it last Thursday, put it on the table, and then let folks start putting together amendments if they had any. And, Mr. Chairman, to that point, I've got three amendments that I'd like to offer to this bill, and I'd like to start with the A5 amendment.
Senator Murphy offers the A5 amendment.
Are ready to pass those on?
Perhaps while it's being passed out, maybe you can just give us a brief rundown of it.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and committee members, this is the appropriation that goes to the disadvantaged, the DBEs, or I'm sorry, the job training programs. And this was an initiative of Senator Moy, and I'm offering this amendment on her behalf. It basically says that the commissioner shall expend up to one-half of 1% of the appropriations under paragraph A as grants to Opportunity Industrialization Centers. And Ms. Bierzowski has an oral amendment to go with this because at MnDOT's request they have they provide this service to more than just Opportunity Industrialization Centers, but there's other job creators that they also offer this to. So we want to make sure that we get them all in there.
Ms. Bierzowski will tell us what her amendment to the amendment is.
Mr. Chair, on line 1.4 of the A5 amendment, after the word centers, insert and other nonprofit job training centers.
Any questions on the A5 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the A5 amendment, please say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign.
What's going on here?
Motion
you.
Prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, did we put the bill on the table at the end of last meeting?
Yes, we did.
If we did. Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, then we got to back up just a second. I would move that Senate File 1511 be taken from the table.
Senator Murphy moves that Senate File 1511 is removed from the table. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Now, Mr. Chairman, I would offer the A5 amendment as amended. That was one we just did.
Okay. Repeating, the Senator Murphy offers the A5 amendment.
I've got two.
As amended.
Oh, one of these.
All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Senator
and
Dibble.
Mr. Chairman, I have two more amendments. I have the A3 and the A4 amendment. If we get them both passed out at the same time.
And Senator Murphy, perhaps you could give us a brief discussion on them while they're being passed out.
Mr. Chairman and members, I'll start with the A3 amendment. The A3 amendment is in regards to manufactured home parts. What we've seen all across the state and is that these manufactured home parts sometimes are real close to road property, and the first ones that always are displaced are the people in the trailer courts. And the folks in these manufactured home parks, you know, those are their homes. they're their homes, and they would like to have a better audience when it comes to these decisions of right-of-way acquisition. Now, this amendment that we had crafted up may go a little bit too far because it does ask that MnDOT relocate these manufactured homes within a 7-mile radius of where they're at. Most of the information that we have about the residents in these manufactured home parks are that they do work within a very close proximity of where they live. Most of the time they are lower income, so to take and take their housing away from them and not offer them something in the same area would be a huge financial burden to these folks. Now, I've talked to MnDOT about this, and they agree that we could probably improve the process. But I wanted to make sure that the committee was aware that there's going to be some discussions throughout the summer and fall to try to come up with a better opportunity for these folks so that they're not displaced. So that they're not displaced and they feel as if they had no recourse at all. And members, bottom line is that the amendment as it's written right now will cost tens of millions of dollars for us to employ, and I don't think that that would be beneficial to the bill that it's going on right now. Like I said, I wanted to make sure that the committee was aware of this issue and that we're going to work on it over the summer and fall months. And I know that this has been a big issue in Senator Jungbauer's area and a few other folks around the table. But, Mr. Chairman, I would at this time withdraw the A3 amendment.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, could you just, Senator Murphy, is just to clarify the intent of it, if a property is affected, would the MnDOT be required for relocating the entire park or just the area that was taken? Because sometimes if it's a fairly large park, that really would be ominous.
Right.
Senator Murphy.
And Mr. Chairman and Senator Olson, no, the intent was just to take the, the normal process, what goes through right now, is they only take the
affected area.
The affected area. They don't close the whole park. Now, there are instances where the whole park is taken because it's easier for everybody. But and the property is needed by the road authority. But, no, even in its limited view or its limited scope, this would still cost more than we can afford to pay. But, we do have a commitment from MnDOT to work on this issue. And, it's going to take us a while to figure it out.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Murphy, and I'm glad you brought this up, although you're withdrawing the amendment for the right reasons. It is an issue, and members, the primary issue is a manufactured home is treated differently than a regular home because it doesn't own the underlying land. Although we're seeing more and more of that within inner cities putting up new affordable housing and things where the underlying land is held in trust. So it's an issue that we're going to have to look at broadly across the state, specifically today, kind of on the affordable housing end. So I think that we're going to need to bring this back up in the future on our highways, on MSA roads, because I have within the city of East Bethel two manufactured home communities on Highway 65. I've got two manufactured home communities in Anoka and in Ramsey on Highway 10. So any major realignment of those highways or expansion, not utilizing the latest technologies for stormwater and things, would actually encompass part of these communities. So it is a big issue to a lot of people, and it is an affordability issue. So.
Mm-hmm. Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and I just wanted to thank Senator Murphy for at least putting this idea on the table and putting it in front of us. I think when it comes to manufactured home parks, We tend to give them fairly short shrift, not think about them when we're thinking about workforce and affordable housing. It's been fairly easy in the past to kind of stick them up and then wipe them out, and it has a real impact on our communities, and it's an important aspect of affordability and where folks can live, and a lot of folks in all of our communities who are working those service jobs live in manufactured home parks, and so we need to think about them when we're talking about that whole continuum of conversations that go on around housing.
Senator Murphy, in withdrawing the amendment, you said that MnDOT is going to be looking at this, and will they be bringing something to us in the future?
Well, it depends on how the discussions go, Mr. Chairman. Sometimes there has to be a legislative initiative, but MnDOT has been more than cooperative on a lot of different things that the legislature has proposed. They've been right there to help us figure it out. So,
well, thank you. Senator Murphy withdraws the A3 amendment.
And Mr. Chairman and members, the other amendment that I had passed out just for, and I'm not going to offer this amendment, that way I don't have to withdraw it, but the A4 amendment, Mr. Chairman and members, deals with kind of a similar set of circumstances. Right now on federally funded projects, if there's work in the right-of-way that utilities have to do, whether it's gas or electric or phone service or cable, the feds have a way of reparating that cost to the utility. The state doesn't do that. Now, what this amendment would do would say that the money under the Recovery Act, we would help, we would partner with the utilities to pay that cost. Once again, after talking with MnDOT, this turns out that it would not break the piggy bank, but come real close. And so we want to think about this a little bit. And it's not that, as a former employee at a utility, it's not that, you know, we want to protect the utility per se from incurring any cost at all. But sometimes these costs are over and above what they had projected and what they had budgeted for themselves. And when we're in the right-of-way disturbing those pieces of equipment for reasons other than fixing that piece of equipment, then I believe it's the state's responsibility. And once again, we're going to be working with MnDOT to see if there is a way, either through some sort of rate recovery, some kind of look-back provision, that we can help our utility partners out so that these costs don't become a terrible burden for them, because, you know, we'll see it in higher electric prices or phone service prices or whatever sooner or later, so we should probably try and figure it out and be a little more upfront with our budgeting. But, Mr. Chairman, that's all I had for the for 1511.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Murphy, you said this is going to break the bank, so to speak. Obviously, there's going to be a lot. I mean, anytime you're doing one of these construction projects, there's going to be some utilities that have to probably be moved anyway. So it's just a matter that we're accelerating these projects. Mm-hmm. Yet there's going to be some sort of cost recovery somehow, whether it's through the funds here or it's through rate recovery to the consumer. Mm-hmm. Do you have an idea how much we're talking about in terms of dollar amounts?
Senator Murphy.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Dahl, just by looking at the faces of the folks over at MnDOT, it's substantial. It's in the millions. And I just don't think that at this time we can afford to pay that out of the Trunk Highway Fund.
Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, well,
Senator
but this still has to be done. The utilities are going to have to go in there. Are you, is mm-hmm. it your thought that they're just going to absorb those costs then, or what, how are we going to do that? Are they going to be an impediment on moving these projects forward? Because if they don't get their parts done, is that going to be a problem?
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dahl, and this I know is pretty much standard practice in the industry. Once the utility gets an order for work from MnDOT, part of the work package, they get right out there and move whatever needs to be moved. I mean, it's not a question of whether or not they're going to get the utility is going to be able to move their equipment either in or out of the right of way so that MnDOT can build roads. I mean, that's not a question. They're going to do that. the question is who's going to bear the cost? Right now, on state-funded projects, the utility pays their own freight. On federally funded projects, and this would be a federally funded project, not a state-funded project, then the feds help pay for those associated costs. What I'm saying is going forward, and you're right, they're probably going to have, the utility would have to pay for this anyway. It's just that we've got jobs that were going to be done 5 years from now that are going to be done today.
Right.
And so the utility has said, okay, 5 years from now we're going to need to pay that money. Well, all of a sudden now they're going to pay it today. So we've got a little bit of time here, even though they have to absorb this cost today, the utilities, we still have a little bit of time to try to figure out what it is that we need to do to, you know, keep our communications and utility workers whole.
Mr. Chair, one last thing.
Senator,
Senator Murphy, in one of my cities, there was an issue in a local level where the utilities, you know, dragged their feet a little bit. But they also, the other part was that the initial cost estimate versus the final bill was quite a bit different. Is that going to be a problem, do you anticipate, that especially with the acceleration of this, these programs, that we're going to find that the costs are going to just go up to the point where either the ratepayers are going to have to absorb all these costs, or the state's going to get handed a bill at the end of the day that we can't absorb either?
Yeah.
Senator Murphy.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Dahl, a lot of times in the utility industry, some of this work is contracted. You know, ditch work, a lot of it is contracted to subcontractors. And I can tell you right now that these subcontractors don't have any work to do. They're not going to try to gouge the government on these economic recovery projects. I mean, they just can't. If you look at a lot of the bids that have come in, on the first batch of lettings that went out, the prices were very competitive. There's nobody really gouging anyone. And I believe the biggest reason for that is that there's so many people that are out of work that they're willing to maybe take a little bit less to, you know, have their hands around a shovel.
And just for my clarification, Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, is it MnDOT then that will be kind of the overseeing all the utilities bids and things like that? Is that their purview, or who's actually oversees that?
That's
part of it?
Yeah, that's part of the work package, is my understanding, and MnDOT is in charge of those on MnDOT projects. I mean, you know, if it was the city of Bloomington, it'd be the city's responsibility. But.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, you said that was all that you had. Are the A, refresh my memory, is the A1 and A2 amendments that are with the bill, or were they ones that we adopted when we considered it the first time?
The ones that we adopted at the last committee meeting, they are on the bill. The A1 and A2, I believe they
were.
Thank
you. Thank you.
So the A1, A2, Senator and Murphy. A5 are on the bill currently, and the A3 and 4 are not. And, Mr. Chairman, like I said, those are the only amendments that I had wanted to discuss today.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. I'm just going to – I think the points on the utility recovery, I just want to articulate. I'm a little nervous when we talk about reimbursing the utilities for moving their equipment out of the right-of-way. But I understand Senator Murphy is trying to narrowly construe this because folks have to go to great capital effort in a really, with a really very short notice, so I understand what he was getting at. Are we ready to move on? I have an amendment to offer.
Well, I did want to make one comment, I think, in question of Senator Murphy. Senator Murphy, I think in regard to this, aren't there some utilities that are allowed to put a separate line on their bills to recover capital costs like this? It's kind of a recapture.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we had talked about that at one time. I don't know if we ever did that or not. You know, all these small charges, especially to electric utilities, if we allowed them a line on the bill, this bill would, you know, when you got your bill in the mail, you'd take it and go like this, because there's so many of these small little charges that are on utilities, it's crazy. I don't think we gave them the opportunity to line item things, but if we ever did, they'd be cutting down a lot of trees to print their bills because they get a lot bigger.
Senator Day.
Mr. Chair, I think for members, I think it is something, and I'm glad Senator Murphy brought it up and everybody can sit and talk about it, because as you might know, if you remember the Hiawatha line, I mean, there were court cases. I mean, we're not just talking a million or two. We're talking many millions of dollars that can happen in these projects, to whether it's energy or cable or telephone companies or whatever. If you pick the right line and you're right in there, right where they're at, it is costly. But I do believe that, you know, everybody get together and talk about it. Maybe there's some kind of a ratio or something that can make everybody feel relatively happy without having, you know, major lawsuits right in the middle of some of these things.
Senator Murphy, you ready to move on?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have the A6 amendment. Mr. Chair, while it's coming around, I'll just describe it. It just asks that the commissioner keep in mind its compliance with accessibility issues that relate to the Americans with Disabilities Act as they're building out. It doesn't require anything very specific, and the commissioner has already committed in writing that they're going to be doing so, and actually probably programming a couple million bucks specifically for going back to facilities that already exist to make them more accessible. The MnDOT is actually doing a very nice job after years of not doing such a great job of coming into compliance with some of its obligations, but this just simply says that the legislature is supportive and takes note and wants to be sure that we continue that progress, and we certainly won't build anything that's not accessible with these federal stimulus dollars.
Are there any questions on the A6 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Same sign. Motion prevails. A6 amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble.
I'm sure I have the A7 amendment. I have the A7. I gave away my only copy. So.
Senator Dibble offers the A7 amendment.
Mr. Chair, this the A7, I just shared with Senator Murphy. I hadn't had a chance yet to chat with him, so I'll be interested in his reaction, but it just simply says that the MnDOT will publish on its website the projects that have been selected and what goals are supported by those projects. That comes about, Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, in response to some folks who have been observing the process, most specifically with respect to Met Council and the TAB and MnDOT, and kind of, you know, stuff has to happen very quickly, and so you know what exactly the process is to select and why certain projects are being selected and the like has been somewhat confusing. It doesn't ask for a whole bunch of public process and, you know, and hearing from folks, which is what I think people would have liked. You know, the TAB wasn't doing any public hearings or any taking any formal public input of any sort, but it, at least it's trying to put out for public information which projects are being selected and which department goals they're supporting. Just a public, kind of a sunshine, a little sunshine effort.
And Senator Dibble, you're saying within a week of an advertisement for projects.
Council helped me draft. Right. Maybe council can help me.
Which is now. Is that correct? Mm. That's all projects?
As projects are, as projects, the intent is as projects are selected, they'll be posted on the website. And what they're trying to do, if they're fulfilling safety goals or, you know, maintenance goals or capacity goals.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman?
Senator Murphy, do you have a response?
Oh, Senator Olson.
Senator Olson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, given that the efforts by MnDOT are to have the projects that are ready to go, I mean, they've all been a part of their whole plan. I'm not sure what's accomplished. I mean, if they were creating something out of thin air that wasn't consistent with their program of work, it would be, I think it would be clearer. I'm not just sure what this does. It may be putting a project ahead of another one just by virtue of the fact that it's ready to go, but you know, I don't know. I'm not sure what's accomplished, but maybe you.
Senator Murphy?
Mr. Chairman, MnDOT doesn't have a problem administering this. They just nodded that this amendment was copacetic with them. And, you know, Senator Olson, maybe the very last line, you know, I might agree with you on line number 6, but I think that to have, you know, kind of the criteria that is used in you know, placing projects is probably a good thing for the public to know.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, it was the last of trying to, you know, why it was qualified or what goals. That was what I was focusing on. Mm-hmm. You're right. I presume they do have a website now, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure what their plans were initially to publish all of this stuff, but I would assume that that's part of their plan anyway. So if this is just mm-hmm. confirms that I don't have any problem with that either. But yeah. I do wonder about the statement of goals, what that really accomplishes.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, what I think MnDOT is thinking is just that, you know, they didn't pick any of these projects willy-nilly. There were definite reasons why, and I don't think that they're going to have a problem, you know, stating those reasons. I think most of the people that have looked at the list that they put out, at least folks that understand what it takes to build transportation infrastructure, they look at the list right away and they go, okay, I got that. I see why they're doing that. And so this just reaffirms what they do.
Right. Senator Dibble.
Couldn't have stated it better myself, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions on the A7 amendment? Senator Dibble renews his motion to adopt the A7 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, if there's no more amendments for the stimulus bill, I'd like to move that. Oh, there are more? No more?
No more. Senator Youngbauer.
My guess, if nobody else has an amendment, I will offer the A3 amendment.
Oh, that's on the next bill.
Oh, that's on the next bill. Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
This is the stimulus part. Okay. Right. I'm not following things here. I'm busy. Yeah. We can do it. Let's put it on every bill. Yeah. Make sure he doesn't sneak it by us.
Make sure we are in a hurry today, but not that much.
Yeah, not that much of a hurry. Okay.
Any other questions on Senate File 1511?
Mr. Chairman, then I would move Senate File 1511 as amended to be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance.
Senator Murphy renews his motion on Senate File 1511 as amended to be forwarded to the Committee on Finance. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr.
Senator
Chairman.
Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, next up is Senate File 1276, and this is the department's regular budget bill. I should say departments. And let's see which one we got here. Mr. Chairman, once again, members, we talked about this bill at length several different times. And Mr. Chairman and members, we were also given explicit instructions earlier in the day about our targets and what we could and couldn't put in our bill. The one thing that we were that is not up for discussion is the piece where we take the low-income tax credit and reapply that to the cuts that we're making in transit. That money was taken away from us, and we'll have an amendment to so that it reflects the numbers in our budget. Mr. Chairman and members, I've got several different amendments here, and I'll either myself or Ms. Bierzowski or Ms. Boyd will explain them as we move through. And the first one that I'd like to offer is the A10 amendment. And members, the if we could get the A10 and 11 passed out at the same time, that'll work out just fine.
Senator Murphy moves the A10 amendment.
And
perhaps you could describe them while they're being passed out.
Mr. Chairman, both the A10 and 11, the A10 is purely technical. There were some number corrections that were in that, and Ms. Boyd reassured me several times that this is purely technical, Mr. Chairman, so I would move the A10 amendment. Mr. Chairman, so I would move
Senator
the A10
Murphy.
Amendment.
Senator Murphy moves the A10 amendment. Any questions on the A10 amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
And
Senator
Mr.
Murphy.
Chairman, now the A11 amendment, when I was talking earlier about the bad news that we got, the bad news grew again. And these are the numbers that that reflect the most up-to-date forecasts that we have. So these are the actual numbers, because we did lose more money, put it that way. So the numbers are smaller than they were in the original bill. And all I can say to that is sorry.
We don't have it.
So, Mr. Chair?
The A11
Senator?
Amendment? I
right.
thought.
Which one are the
A11? Mr. Chair, may I ask a question about the
Senator
A10?
Senator Dibble.
Oh, okay.
I was distracted. So, the A10 eliminates the motor vehicle lease tax from our mix?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dibble, no. The A10 was purely technical. That just
changed
some numbers in the bottom part of the bill.
Okay.
And what we're doing now with the A11 amendment is just reflecting the further degradation of the trunk highway fund.
You're in the majority, is it?
No.
And
what are these things? I
Mr. Chairman, everybody has them now, so I would move the A11 amendment.
Senator Murphy moves the A11 amendment. Any questions on the A11 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bonner.
I did have a question. Mr. Chair, so in terms of having, as you mentioned, lost revenue, can you just say a little more about that? Can you point us what our changes are, what we're looking at?
Okay.
Senator Murphy.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman and Senator Bonhoff, if you look at the A-10 amendment, okay, and the numbers that are in boldface on 1.15,
mm-hmm.
Okay, if you run that across, you see a total of $4.4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go to 1.15 on the A-11 amendment, you see that there's been the loss of $150 million or so to the Trunk Highway Fund.
Mm. It's right here, here.
And Mr. Chair,
Senator Bonner.
Senator Murphy, how did that happen? How did we lose the money?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman and Ms. Boyd can correct me if I'm wrong, but that's just there's less money in the fund than what was projected. This number more accurately reflects the money that we're going to have to deal with over the next 2-year period.
Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, so this isn't the result of changing any formula that we had previously discussed?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bonhoff, absolutely not. This is just the further decline of the highway fund.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman, I move the A11 amendment then.
Senator Murphy moves the A11 amendment. Any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign.
Mr. Chair.
Mr.
Chair. A11 is adopted. Senator Rothstein.
Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, Senator Clark is here. Could she address an amendment that I have?
Sure, as soon as I get done with my next two.
That's fine.
Okay.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, I have the A2 amendment.
We'll see what happens. Okay.
And Mr. Chairman and members, there was some discussion last time about the money that was that we were dedicating to District 2 to help that district out with some of their water/road issues. And upon further reflection, we're deciding not to do it because we've never really had earmarks before, and it's getting kind of close to being an earmark. So this A2 amendment removes that $5 million bond appropriation to District 2. I didn't think anybody on the committee would have a heartburn over this. And you have to understand that this is how Senator Scoy gets to the Capitol when he drives down.
Well.
And he's willing to give up on it, so.
Okay.
Senator Murphy offers the A2 amendment. Any questions on the A2 amendment? Seeing none, everyone have a copy?
Yep.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, the last amendment I have is the A15 amendment, and this is a little more difficult to do.
Perhaps you can explain it, Senator Murphy, while we're getting it passed out.
Mr. Chairman, this goes to the low-income tax credit and how we are going to apply that back to the transit fund in both greater Minnesota and the metropolitan area. The chair of the tax committee would, if there's going to be adjustments to that low-income tax credit, would rather make that change in a tax bill.
Oh.
And I don't want to be on his bad side, put it that way. So we're going to take it out of our bill. And members, this means that a deeper cut is going to come to both Greater Minnesota Transit and the metropolitan area transit. So that's what A15 means.
Announcement on this particular amendment, it's referring to pages 21 and 27. And what we are working on, Senators, is the delete all amendment, the A1 amendment that we had passed previously. And there's yes. copies in your packets. Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, I was waiting for this. I had heard word that this might happen, and that's why I was asking questions about the last bill. I strongly oppose this amendment, and I just want to speak for a little bit about the motor vehicle sales lease tax revenue and the history of it and why it is so very important to be in this bill. And I don't understand why this is the section being taken out of this bill. 4 years ago, I think, one of the very first bills that I offered here was to take the motor vehicle sales tax, lease tax, and have it considered in the exact same way that we consider MVES, because whether you buy a car and pay a tax or you lease a car and pay a tax, there is literally no difference other than the way your car is financed. We put on the ballot a constitutional amendment saying, should the motor vehicle sales tax go towards transportation? At that time, I was offering legislation that said the lease tax ought to flow in the same manner as whatever is decided by that constitutional vote. We were not able to get that passed that year because we had a hole in the general fund and nobody wanted to take money out of the general fund, and so we waited. The next year, again, we tried. There was reasons. Finally, in the final bill that passed last year, everybody agreed that, in fact, the lease tax ought to be going towards transportation, and then it was traded at the very end in terms of how it got divvied up, and it still didn't mirror the motor vehicle sales tax. In this bill, we are finally setting that straight and bringing back the motor vehicle sales tax and assigning it to the proper and appropriate functions. When people buy a car and pay a tax, lease a car, pay a tax, it ought to go towards that effort. It should not be horse traded for something else. And so, in fact, I was going to offer an amendment that dealt with that particular section of law and even created a different segment out of it so that we could use that money to study rail, commuter rail, heavy rail, at the request of some others. But to think that we are going to then turn over this section of law to the tax committee to decide how it's divvied up is, again, not in keeping with what I think the people clearly stated when they voted for the constitutional amendment. The people said, we're paying the sales tax for our automobiles. We want it to go for transportation.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I concur with Senator Bonoff and thank her for her work over the years and pointing out that the motor vehicle lease tax is part of the motor vehicle sales tax. And I'll also add that when we do this, we return to the condition in which we started, which is looking at a $63 million deficit in Metro Transit operations in the metro area. This went most of the way towards solving that, and we also don't solve the Greater Minnesota Transit deficits as well. So it will create a lot of work for our committee to figure that out, because a $63 million cut to Metro Transit operations, that's the regular route, scheduled bus service, is pretty substantial and will create a great deal of shortage of bus service and the inability of the transit system to provide the basic service that it needs to. So I also believe that ultimately this entire bill ends up in the tax committee, and so they can deal with these tax questions there. So to kind of preempt and preemptively remove this provision from the tax from the bill at the request of the tax committee might be little preemptive. We can deal with this question in tax committee if they have some ideas about how to better fund transit.
Mr. Chair, what kind of money are we talking about?
Senator Langseth.
Mr. Chairman, it's Senator Langseth. It's about $63 million.
Over the biennium.
Ms. Boyd.
Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, I'm sorry, I missed the question. Are we referring to the council deficit for transit? Or the amount that this amendment will affect?
Right, the amendment.
Okay. In this amendment.
Yeah. Mr. Chair and Senator Langseth, the estimated total revenue that the leasing sales tax will bring in is about $29 million in 10 and about $28 million in 11. After the low-income tax credit is taken off the top, there's actually a negative amount for distribution to transportation in that biennium. In the tails, there will be about $8 million distributed each year to the transportation funds.
Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, it's phased in over time, mm-hmm. In the same phase in as the MBEST, and so those are the numbers now. But I believe, as I understand, it can amount to $46 million in the biennium on a regular basis. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair and Senator Bonoff, actually in the tails, the phase-in will be over. The phase-in goes through 2011 to the general fund. In the tails in 2012 and 2013, the biennium will see about $77 million total. But again, that is before the offset for the low-income tax credit.
And Mr. Chair and Ms. Berezovsky, could you explain to me why the low-income tax credit gets taken out of this provision?
Mr. Chair and Senator Bonoff, that's the way the statute was passed, that it was part of an agreement in Chapter 152, and that was where the revenue came from for that.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman and Senator Bonoff, if you remember, the low-income tax credit was not our idea.
I didn't vote on that.
Yeah, that was not this committee's decision. That was a decision that was made by the last committee that we ultimately have to stop at before the Senate floor.
Mr.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you. And I think it also came from the other chamber, and also came when gas prices were quite a bit higher, and so there was some hand-wringing about it. Mm-hmm. I'll just add, just for the committee's information, that if we also take the 7% general fund cut to transit, to transportation, we're looking at a $75 million deficit to Metro Transit in the coming 2 years.
Any other questions on the A-15 amendment?
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Murphy.
Not a question, but just a comment. I'm not overly thrilled about doing this. I thought that we had a pretty clear path of making sure that, we didn't have some of the draconian cuts that are going to have to occur now. But sometimes you're not the gorilla in the room. Sometimes you're something smaller than that.
So, Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble.
I'll just also mention that Senator Ortman and I and Senator Scoy and Senator Langseth and Senator Rest are all on the tax committee. We can take this up there.
Senator Rest.
No, Mr. Chairman, I agree with Senator.
Close to the microphone, Senator Rest.
I agree with Senator Dibble and Senator Bonoff. Senator Bonoff on the policy and Senator Dibble on the process. I think this should be left in here now and let the tax committee act on the tax policy part of it rather than I think the Transportation Committee should stand strong for this provision in the bill and let the Tax Committee do it rather than we do it to ourselves. That would be my – I'm going to vote no.
Senator Artman, did you have a question?
Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, what was the reasoning in the bill to send all of this to transit and not under the 60-36-4 split where it would go to roads? Just like the MVEST tax, the lease tax would then be split the same way. What's the reasoning for not doing that and attempting to do something else with it?
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Chairman, 2 years ago when we started, well, actually longer than that, probably as many as 5 years ago, as we were trying to come up with a balance of a funding package which included a gas tax increase and an increase in tab fees and the rededication of this fund to the trunk highway fund. We were looking at a balance, and the way the numbers worked out was if we used some of the lease tax money, since it was not part of the constitutional question on the invest money, that we would be able to provide a better balance between transit and roads and bridges at that time. The other reason why we decided, and at that time we were also talking about a half of a percent sales tax in the metropolitan area, a quarter for roads and bridges, and a quarter for transit. At the end of the day, that all didn't wash out. But the balance of the money in the long run was that we would take some of this money, knowing that it's not a huge pot of money, and spend some of it on transit to provide a more equitable balance in the bill.
Senator Bonner.
Mr. Chair and Senator Ortman, another interesting thing with this particular pot of money is if you look at where the lease tax is captured, it's in the metro. There is not near as much leasing of cars in greater Minnesota. It's a practice that is, used as a business corporate incentive in many cases. They'll give their employees a lease allowance. It's a standard practice in the metro to lease versus own, whereas the money, stays then more in the area in which the cars are bought.
Senator Ortman.
I'm not following the logic. Because more cars are leased in the metro area, the taxes should go to transit, even though all those rental cars and leased cars are on the roads?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Ortman, first of all, let's not collapse rental cars and lease cars because we're talking about two completely different things. I knew you would go there. After I said it, I thought to myself, Senator Ortman's going to question the logic of that. What I was stating was in terms of the money going to outstate versus metro. With regard to the predominant amount for transit, given the difficulty we've had in coming up with a source for many of the different transit needs, this seemed to be a good solution.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair and Senator Bonhoff, with all due respect, that may have been true a couple of years ago, but we've had a huge flood of funding for transit. And so I think that there should be some funds here for roads and for greater Minnesota transit. I think the 60-36-4 split makes an awful lot of sense, and I'm hoping to build a coalition here in this committee. And I suppose if I can't, I'll try to do it in the tax committee. Maybe I'll have a little more influence there, but I'd like to think that we could put together enough votes in this committee to do the right thing here, which is keep it in this committee, make sure it's transportation dollars, and split it 60-36-4.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson,
maybe you should work on doing a trade-off of getting rid of the rest of that that extension of the taxing district, so it isn't on the property taxes. At least is transportation related.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Artman,
I can make a promise that you'll see that amendment. That one's already been drafted. I'm talking about drafting a new one for this provision because I don't think this committee. As powerful as we all are in the tax committee, let me say, I just think that we should probably make that decision here in the transportation committee.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Murphy.
Senator Ortman, if my amendment was not to prevail, then you would have to have an amendment to change that. My amendment takes that out of the bill. I hope you understand that.
Okay. Mr. Chair, and Senator Murphy, I understand, and I believe that council is preparing the amendment as we speak.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would review my motion on the A15 amendment.
Senator Murphy renews his motion on the A15 amendment. Any other questions?
No.
Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, say aye.
No.
No.
The motion does not prevail. Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, that was all the that's all the amendments I had.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dahl.
Olsen.
Senator Olsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to introduce the A9 amendment.
Senator Olsen moves the A9 amendment.
Okay. And as it's being passed out, I was wondering if Senator Clark could come and address us on this. Primarily a St. Cloud Bridge issue.
On the A9 amendment, Senator Clark.
Mr. Chair, members, hopefully the two amendments that we have that are
close to the microphone,
will be a little less controversial. The A9 amendment, and actually, Senator Olsen, there was one change. Did you want to?
Yes. Mr. Chair, I'd like to make an oral amendment that at line 1.6, businesses be changed to communities.
And we'll incorporate that into the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Chair, members, this particular one, you know that we've had some interesting ongoing bridge conversations in our community as in some other parts of the state. We happen to have three existing bridges that are right in the St. Cloud area, actually two, and one that's in the process of being redone right now. But there has been an ongoing need to be having another one. And there has been, let's just say it's been going back and forth about whether or not the bridge would be on the southern part of St. Cloud, if we're redoing something a bit further south. It's been going back and forth. And what's been suggested by my community is that we clarify, or at least put in some language, this has been done for a couple other communities, is making sure that we're looking at the local impact, the community's impact, the economic impact on where the bridge would be placed, so that we actually, as we're going through the conversation, perhaps take out some of the political nature that sometimes happens and really focus on where it makes the most sense to be putting a bridge in the future. So that would be our request.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Clark, Senator Olsen, what criteria are they using now?
Senator Clark.
Mr. Chair and Senator Rest, it's been a little bit all over the place. In all honesty, we have an ongoing conversation in Haven Township in the city of St. Cloud and a little bit further south about the wild and scenic Mississippi and about how a bridge might be constructed in the southern part of St. Cloud or further south of that, so environmental is very important. The growth area is on the south part of St. Cloud and on the northern is in north of Clearwater. So there has been ongoing conversations about whoever's louder about at any given time about not doing a bridge. So my hope in this amendment, Senator Rest, is that we at least would have a conversation about what's needed and when and where, and just to change the conversation a little bit.
Senator Clark, is there anything in that area that relates to a municipal consent?
Not that I'm aware of.
This is between two municipalities, too?
Well, it actually, over time, it depends on where you locate it. It could be in St. Cloud and going across into St. Cloud. It could be in St. Cloud and going across into Haven Township. It could be in Clearwater and going across to Clear Lake. And as we finally are having some resources and can start looking at this being more than a 25-year-out reality, because right now the three bridges in St. Cloud are all within a mile of each other, actually less than a mile of each other. We desperately are needing something else. But if Representative Haas and I end up having the biggest conversations with people very understandably concerned about where, what's happening to the land and the water on either side of the Mississippi, but the conversation never seems, that just shuts down the conversation. So if we could have a more thoughtful analysis about where are the growth trends, what does it mean in terms of the communities that are there, and then use that as an opportunity to really then have a broader conversation between the municipalities or townships. Haven is a township. We could probably have a more thorough one. And what I, my understanding is that something like this was done in Senator Metzen's district, I think Senator Pogorelli's at one point, but that's kind of what the ongoing issue is. So we're just trying to make sure that whoever's the most concerned about their own plot of land, perhaps that we look a little more broadly than that.
And Mr. Chairman, I just
Senator Murphy.
I don't think the folks at MnDOT have any problem at all with this.
Yeah, the folks at MnDOT have been great.
Senator Olsen renews his motion to for the A9 amendment as amended. Any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
No.
Motion prevails. Senator Murphy. Now we have Senator Dahl.
Mr. Chairman, I think Senator Olsen had one more there.
Senator Olsen, do you want to do it again?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the A5 amendment.
Just going
to
ignore me.
And is
they don't have a problem with this, do they?
Well, that's as that's being passed out, Mr. Chair, that has relationship to the provision would be at 1.16 under the rail section to add park and ride lots. So this is for the North Star Corridor development so that they could develop park and rides beyond the Big Lake end of the train line.
And, Mr. Chair, this there was money in the last bill to help us with this. We were fortunate enough to have the Vice President in St. Cloud this last week, and they are actively engaged on helping us out to get North Star up to where we thought it was going to begin with, which is great because this committee has been good. What this does is making sure that we can utilize some of the funds that are in preparation for North Star coming up that can be used for park and ride lots. And this is something that's been talked about on the local level. This is actually less controversial probably than the other one.
Mr. Chairman, this is a good amendment.
Senator
we
Murphy.
Should adopt it.
Oh, your turn. Yeah.
Any questions on the A5 amendment? Senator Olsen renews his motion to adopt the A5 amendment. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Okay.
Senator Olsen, any more?
I do have one more.
Senator Olsen.
This is the A4, and it actually has something to do with St. Cloud because this is addresses that the Met Council in preparing bids has to consider specifications that a Minnesota manufacturer could meet. And this is that kind of going after that issue we've been dealing with for the last few years about certain Minnesota bus manufacturer hasn't been able to really competitively bid on these buses. So hopefully with this language they would be included in those bids or be able to bid on them.
And Mr. Chairman,
Senator Murphy.
Once again, I don't believe the Met Council has any heartburn at all over this amendment.
Would anyone from the Met Council like to comment?
He just shook his head that they liked the amendment to me, Mr. Chairman. And members, this is actually a really good amendment. We spend millions of dollars in our state on buses, and to have a local manufacturer, probably the largest manufacturer of coach buses in the United States, to have them excluded from the process is, well, I shouldn't say excluded, but to have their buses, which are every bit as good as the buses that we have bought and from other vendors not meet the requirements as a that's just wrong.
Any questions on the A4 amendment? Senator Olsen renews his motion to adopt the A4 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have the A16 amendment. And as that's being passed out, Mr. Chair, I'll just go over it quickly. This is an amendment regarding the issue with the Met Council and Minnesota Valley Transit Authority. There's a Apple Valley Transit Station, the property that's situated on, with an agreement between the two parties. There'll be a transfer of the title from Met Council to the Minnesota Valley Transit Authority. And this just puts it into statute in the language that they've agreed upon.
And Mr. Chairman, once again, this is agreed on by all the parties involved, Met Council and the city and all. So.
Everyone have their amendment? Any questions on the A16 amendment? Senator Dahl moves the A16 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have an oral amendment on page 26, line 31.
You want to do that? Okay.
Members, this is in regards to the high-speed rail line study, which was agreed to by Senator Murphy and Senator Dibble and I. But I'd like to strike the language, also include an update and analysis of all, and insert the word consider.
Excuse me, Senator Sieben, what line is that?
26.31. So again, strike the words.
What are we on?
Also include an update and analysis of all, and insert the word consider. And I believe that this language more accurately reflects the agreement that we all agreed to.
Where is that?
Line 31,
on
page
26 of the bill. So the sentence would read, the analysis must consider previous rail studies providing passenger service in this corridor. This is because we don't want them to redo the Red Rock corridor analysis or study. We just want them to consider it.
And, Senator, we are working on the A1 delete all amendment. Any questions on the Sieben oral amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Senator Ruttman.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer the A3 amendment.
Senator Ruttman, while we're getting the copies, could you please tell us what's in it?
Chair and members, the A3 amendment just does as I promised, which would change the transit taxing district back to current law. So we would continue with the taxes as they are currently applied and apparently at the same level of taxation for all of those communities that currently pay that tax, as opposed to what this amended version does, which is take the same amount of tax and spread it over into new communities. You'll see in your packet some letters that were sent to my office opposed to Senator Murphy's portion of this bill, this portion of the bill. One from the City of Victoria. The City of Victoria in Carver County, and like many of the cities in the 7-county metro area, does not have access to a bus corridor, does not have access to a park and ride, and it's not expected in the next 20 or 30 years. They're certainly too far away to commute to the park and ride in Chanhassen. It's too far away. So it's not like they're parking 3 miles away and walking. This is quite a significant distance. That's from the City of Victoria, but the more interesting letter, I thought, and as much as I love the City of Victoria, the City of Chanhassen letter is even more interesting. The City of Chanhassen residents pay this tax because we do have park and rides in Chanhassen, and we do have additional need in that area. We've been working very hard through the TAB board to get additional funding for parking ramps and the ability to have additional access to transit. But this city has said, and I appreciate their message, that they don't think that it's a good thing for the transit system to tax communities that will never see benefits of that tax. And we're creating an expectation in those communities that they will have access to transit in the near future when that's not anywhere in our plans. And it also creates a lack of sustainability. If we create these expectations and keep taxing folks that don't see any benefits, we create a problem for ourselves going forward. So I hope members will look at these letters and support me in my effort with the A3 amendment to take that section out and put it back, maintain current law on the transit taxing districts.
Senator Bonham.
Mr. Chair and Senator Ortman, I am sympathetic or understanding of what you're trying to accomplish. I'm actually hopeful that your communities, as we build out a comprehensive multimodal transit system throughout the state, will see it sooner than you think. But I'm wondering, Senator Ortman, whether you might consider, I know that you disagreed with the way the bill, the section of law we were previously talking about, divided up the lease tax, and that you thought that ought to go in the same 60-30, whatever, that formula. Might you consider not offering that amendment and say that you'll stay with the terms of that and, in fact, support it, and then we'd, you know, support this?
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Bonoff, I'd prefer to take them one at a time. I think it's easier and more straightforward for the public than us horse trading on amendments. I think I will be offering the 60-30-64, and I hope to earn your support on the merit of that. I think it's the right thing to do. I hope the committee will support me in doing that. This is also the right thing to do, and I hope that, because in recognition of the fact that many of these communities will never see transit the next 20 to 30 years, many of them don't commute into the metro area. And many of these communities are facing hardship and economic development circumstances right now. It is not the right thing to do, and I hope just on the basis of the merit of this amendment, Senator Bonoff, you'll support me and do the right thing for all these communities in the 7-county metro area.
Mr. Chair, Senator Ortman, we went around the state, and I recall being in your community and having the people lined up talking about they wanted transit and they wanted more transit in their area. And so I don't necessarily agree with on the merit, but I do know that we have a Met Council shortfall this year and that we are still facing significant funding problems. And so this being a part of the greater metropolitan area, I thought it was the fair thing to do.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Ortman.
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair and Senator Bonoff, I'm not aware of when you might have been in my district with folks asking for more transit. That'd be of note to me if you were actually in my district. Nonetheless, this whole concept of multimodal transportation, I think, you know, I'm not necessarily a believer. You're the one that says you believe in multimodal transportation, but these folks don't have any access to this mode of transportation, and you want to tax them for it. And I think that's not the right thing to do. I'm sorry I'll lose your support. I think that communities in your district would feel the same way. Orono isn't going to have mass transit anytime soon. Other communities in your area might not. I think that might be Senator Olson's district. But I think you should look at your district again, because there is not going to be transit in your district in every community. And are you asking to tax those communities as well?
Mr. Chairman.
Looks that way. Senator Junglar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, and Senator Ortman's right on this. The biggest thing is it gives communities a false promise, because if you expand it, they're thinking they're going to get something for being included in that. To Senator Bonhoff, there is no way we've talked about this. There are so many pieces to this puzzle that it is not a shortfall fix. It generates exactly the same income over a wider area, and you're going to get more and more people complaining that they're not getting anything for their money, even though we can argue some of those details. So, members, it's got to be vetted in a different way. And Met Council sitting here, they can come and tell you that if we expand it in order to help the shortfall, they need to have a new levy authority. So we have to go through a whole process, and I believe the process is four or five different things that we have to do, members. So really just having this in the bill is more problematic than anything at this point, and it's something that we bring up every year, and yet we don't have that full hearing about how can we fashion it such that we're giving people some hope if we're looking at that expansion. So I definitely support Senator Ortman's amendment. I've argued on this before. It does no good the way it's sitting today, and we need to remove it from the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, one slight correction. Orono does have service and is now taxed. So the ones that are named in here are the ones that are taxed. So I have some of both. But it would seem to me that I've appreciated Chan Hassan's letter also, because I think that is a realistic response to the changes. And even looking at the map where there's growth, it would be more acceptable and make more sense is if when you extend service into a given area, that area be added, and have it so that you have a a gradual movement when there's obviously a need, and it can be justified with what the market is there. Then add that community or that area. There's no magic, no county line boundaries to the current taxing district. It's more a narrower jurisdiction than it is, rather than to apply it wholesale over the whole one. There may be a few, even given some of these red spots, that might be justified to extend it to at this time, but not. I think that it ought to be done in that way, rather than wholesale. And I agree that it will. It would probably be accepted better and actually be legitimate in relation to the cost of service right now. So that's my piece. I do support your amendment.
Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Though I carried this bill last year on expanding the district, as I have talked to others and I'm looking at this, we do need to expand the district. However, we need to have a much broader discussion on how we go about that, because I think it's too simplistic to simply expand it by county borders. I think there are going to be a lot of winners and those that pay a tax that they'll never ever get any type of service for, and yet there are plenty of communities that are benefiting from transit that aren't paying for it, and we do need to have a larger discussion. I think it's better if we take the time to do that. I don't think we've had that discussion in this committee fully, and I would, at this point, I'd support us removing it and taking the time to actually discuss it the proper way.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree that perhaps we should have more discussion, though we certainly have had a lot of discussion on this very subject, and I won't belabor the point. Everyone has seen this map before a number of times, and the point that this map makes is that the red dots represent those folks who are driving up to the black line. So the light green is the seven county metropolitan area. The dark green are the collar counties. Then the black line is the transit taxing district, which is a subset of the seven county metro area, and the red dots represent those folks who are driving into the transit taxing area and hopping on the buses and the trains, using the park and ride lots, making use of the transit system for which they don't pay any towards the capital effort to buy the buses and to build the park and ride lots. Now, they do pay a little bit for the operations of the system presently if they buy a car or, if they pay their income taxes and they pay their fares. But they're not spending any effort towards the capital effort. And so it's the recognition of it's an attempt to recognize that a lot of folks are using transit from outside the transit taxing district. I completely agree with the sentiment that We should have that discussion. As a matter of fact, Minnesota Valley Transit just had that discussion internally between Rosemount and Apple Valley, and Rosemount is part of that taxing effort to support Minnesota Valley Transit, and Rosemount said, but we're not getting much service over at our end of Highway 42, so if we're going to stay in and as a part of MBTA, we need a little more service. So that's a good conversation that we should have.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, how many people does each red dot represent on this map? Is that one car?
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that I think the case is still there for these large territories. In many of the areas that we're talking about, there's very few that are exercising that. And the reality is that many of them aren't served by a transit that doesn't go around the circumference, or in many of the cases in the area that I represent, the draw is for employment in Waconia out into Senator Ortman's district. So that's the kind of thing that will really irritate people, and it just is very unfair because it's not everything gravitating to the center city. And so the areas that I represent that are not now in that area, it's pretty sparse in terms of those red dots. It's a small handful. And to tax everybody there on their property taxes is, to me, just not fair.
Senator Dibble.
I'll just say my constituents are irritated presently because they're building these park and rides and they're buying these buses. And so they are irritated. Other folks are coming in and not participating in that effort. So we can share irritation here.
Senator Ortman, you passed out. Did you originate this or pass it out?
No, Senator Dibble did.
Senator Dibble. Senator Dibble, can you explain to me, in the center, obviously the red dots are heavy in the center, and we're talking about these representing automobiles. And are these automobiles in a park and ride? Are they automobiles that, how was this put together? How was it surveyed?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, Mr. Chair. Yeah, that's exactly, I think license plate numbers were taken down and where those license plates originated is where the red dot, how the red dot was plotted in park and rides.
It's a validated survey, Senator Dibble, that you could rely on. For instance, some of the dots that are outliers, those automobiles were cited and logged as being where? Somewhere in the district or?
Yep, Mr. Chair, yes, that's correct. Yeah, this was done by the Met Council. These were a survey that was done, I think, I'm not sure exactly over what period of time, cars in Metro Transit facilities, where folks were driving into park and rides, getting onto the buses or the train and coming into.
And Senator Dibble, the park and rides were within the black area, or where were these park and rides that the cars were discovered and logged?
Yes, inside the transit taxing district, built with transit taxing district property tax levy proceeds.
Okay. So if there were park and rides or if there was any other use of transit from someone outside of the metropolitan Metro Transit park and rides, then they would not be logged.
I'm sorry, can you repeat
that?
If
people were driving in and stopping somewhere else, some other park and ride, like, there are these ad hoc park and rides that show up everywhere.
Yeah.
So those are not logged.
Correct.
Those would not be part of this. So
that is my understanding, Mr. Chair. Yes.
It's entirely reasonable to say that there might be more red dots on the outliers here if you would be able to do that kind of comprehensive review.
Yes, but yeah, I don't think this would capture like folks who have parked on streets or other parking lots and that sort of thing.
Mr. Okay. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Some of those people that do that, maybe not in the regular transit ones, park and carpool, share cars. But I have another question. Now, I can't take a license plate down and call and find out who the name and address is, do we? So who all can do that? I thought that was private data. But is it you know, Big Brother is watching you, so Met Council, any government can do that. I know police can, but who else can?
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, I don't know, but I bet I'm going to find out.
Senator Olson, I think I can verify that, yes, the government can do that for government operations. And also, I believe that unless someone has signed the privacy statement, that you can go to the DVS and get that information, too. Any other questions? Senator Ortman has moved the A3 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign?
No.
No.
The motion passes.
Division.
Call for division.
Just raising your hand.
All those, Senator Olson?
I'm holding my arm up.
Oh.
Thank
you. All those in favor, raise your hands, please. All opposed?
Another 15 minutes. What are you saying?
Result being 12-8, the ear is good. The motion does not. I'm sorry, the motion prevails.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if there's not any more amendments.
Senator Jungbauer.
Mr. Chair, I have the A18 amendment.
Nice try.
Saving mine for
you gotta be faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. While this is being passed out, this is a simple amendment on page 2, line 13. We're actually adding $5 million into the Airport Development and Assistance Fund. And members, it doesn't add more money out of the general fund. What it does allow is we had Senate File 483 that allows for a $5 million increase in the spend down at the Aviation Fund. Okay. And the idea behind this, it still leaves more than enough operating funds within the State Aviation Fund, but it allows us to put those funds out there during hard economic times to put them into projects that are already in the queue, already shovel-ready, get them going, and fix some of our airports, just spend it down beyond our normal balance that we have in there. It would also make it less subject to grabbing fund balances for a little smoke and mirrors solving problems in the end. And I ask for your support.
And, Mr. Chairman, the only thing I ask is from Ms. Boyd is if this fits.
Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, I'm looking at the fund statement for the State Airports Fund from the last economic forecast. The fund balance projected at the end of the biennium at fiscal year 2011 is $2.95 million. That's before the governor's rec and the rec we have in the bill of $2.25 million, and certainly before the $5 million as well. So there would be a negative fund balance at the end of 2011.
Mr. Chairman and Ms. Boyd, there would be a negative fund balance if they decided to use their whole authority to spend. Is that?
Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, after this amendment, yes, there would be approximate balance. If the $2.25 million is left in our bill and the $5 million is added to the appropriation, the fund balance would be about $4.3 million negative at the end of 11.
And
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chair and Senator Jungbauer, then I think we would have a problem.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy.
Senator Jobar.
I was just told that the governor is spending most of the fund down, so I don't know how to relegate that when our governor wants to take that money. Any ideas from our council? If the governor is spending the money down on the on everything, and we're trying to get our projects moved forward in the bill, so everything is allocated through the bill, and Senate File 483 then wouldn't have been a necessary bill as well? Is that?
Ms. Beers, Ms. Boyd.
Mr. Chair and Senator Jungbauer, if I understand your question correctly, the base number for 2010 is about $14.3 million out of the Fund for Airport Development and Assistance. The governor's rec, which we've adopted as part of the A1 amendment on this bill, is to raise that by $2.25 million in fiscal year 10. That spends most of the fund balance through 11. There will be a fund balance of $700,000 approximately on the bottom line. Adding $5 million on top of that would bring the fund balance negative to negative 4.3.
Okay, I'm still trying to follow it in terms of where the fund is being replaced. It's all the monies that are coming back into it, and then the governor is allowing us to spend it down the way this allocation reads, as opposed to what the standard procedure has been in the past and the fund balances that are sitting there today.
Ms. Boyd. Yes. Am I understanding this right, that the governor has already increased that number with his recommendation?
Mr. Chair and Senator Jungbauer, he's increased the appropriation, but there included in this is no new revenue to the fund. There's no replenishment in either the governor's recs or our bill as standing from the general fund to the state airports fund.
Okay, Ms. Boyd, what I was getting at was we have not in the past been allowed to spend down to that point, so the governor has in his, even though there's no new money, the governor has in his bill allowed us to basically spend it all down to zero?
Mr. Chair and Senator Jungbauer, to $700,000 under current projections, yes.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess I will
go for half a million.
Well, we've got to keep some money in there, guys, so I will pull my amendment.
Senator Jungbauer withdraws his A18 amendment. Senator Moi.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer the A17 amendment. And the A17 amendment is just taking the language that Senator Murphy put into Senate File 1511, his A5 amendment, into the Senate File 1276.
Which was your amendment, A17?
A17. It's coming wrong. It just takes the language that Senator Murphy offered earlier to the A5 amendment to the Senate File 1511 and put it into this bill also.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman and members, I believe this is the amendment that Senator Moss showed me earlier, and this is just it's like the other amendments. It's exactly what Senator Moss said. It's just the authority for MnDOT to, statutory authority to do basically what they're doing right now and what they've already planned to do in the future.
Any questions on the A17 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chairman, I offer the A7 amendment.
Senator Bonoff offers the A7 amendment. While it's being passed out, perhaps you can describe it for us.
Sure. This Senator goes Bonoff. Back to that section of law in Section 14, the lease tax dollars. And over the past several years, members from the legislature have brought forward projects that they would like to study. Last year we talked about the 494 corridor to study for rail. I brought forward the Little Crow corridor. There's projects all over the state that are not just commuter rail, but potential heavy rail corridors. And the way that the funds from the lease tax go now, they go into the transit assistance funds, which do not allow those funds to be able to be used for those studies. And so we are continually asking MnDOT and the Met Council to perform studies that they don't have any way to get the funds. So it was suggested that we take a percentage of the lease tax and put it towards those studies. That didn't seem like the right answer because we don't, you know, if that keeps growing and growing, we don't need limitless amounts of money. So what this amendment does is it suggests that $200,000 per quarter be allocated to the Commissioner of Transportation that is appropriated for passenger rail planning activities, including administrative expenses and other costs relating to the preparation of required reports, including the cost of hiring a consultant if needed. So therefore, people won't be continuing to come back to the legislature asking for what we would consider earmarks for this or this or this. We would allow the commissioner to determine when there's a corridor that's appropriate to study, and they would have the necessary funds to do that.
Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, Senator Bonhoeff offers the A7 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign?
No.
Motion prevails. Senator Dibble.
I'm sure I have the A12 amendment. While that's coming around, Mr. Chair, I'll describe it. Mr. Chair, we members, we had a hearing on this subject. It had to do with trying to create some consideration for those agencies that serve homeless people and their ability to use transit to do the sorts of things that they need to do to provide for their own self-sufficiency. And working with the Met Council, they'd like to maybe do a we also talked about the Job Seekers Program. We're going to kind of leave that to the side. Met Council has a good program to deal with the Job Seekers Program, the specific program. But they'd like to try a pilot, take a look at how we might administer this, work with a few agencies. Two of them are kind of called out, even though we can't name them specifically. Two of them we for sure want to participate in the pilot and come back next year and tell us how that pilot went and whether or not we should continue to proceed.
Senator Artman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm a big proponent of this proposal. I think this makes a lot of sense. If we have buses that are not being filled to capacity and transit not being filled to capacity, we should collect revenue, even if it's at half the rate, and make use of the transportation that folks are paying for, and this fills a need in the charitable organizations that try and help these folks too. They all have limits as to how much they can provide in terms of cash assistance to folks in real need looking for jobs or needing shelter, and this would allow them another way to help some folks over and above a cash assistance payment. And I think that we would have really good customers if we did this, so I hope members will support this.
Boy, Mr. Chairman, now this is bipartisan. I voted for Senator Ortman's amendment earlier, and now she's going to vote for Senator Dibble's amendment.
Right.
We're making progress.
You're
here.
A uniter.
Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Chairman and Mr. Shetton just whispered in my ear from the Met Council that they really like this concept. They've talked with Senator Dibble several times. There's just a couple technical things that they want to talk to you about, but they like the amendment, so.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair and members, I got another one I'm hoping you're going to like too, Senator Murphy.
Uh-oh. Anyway,
Senator
Mr. Chair,
Day. Well, Madam Chair, I wouldn't.
Thank you, Senator.
Someday.
A lot of people here know, as far as I'm concerned, we could give them a few of the units to use for at night. So, but you know, yeah, we'll.
I agree.
You know, It's like we should just give it to them. I mean, 50% discount. We're $63 million in the hole now on Metro Transit. We subsidize it $217 million a year, and we're worried about the homeless paying this 50%? I mean, give it to them free. It's, let them sleep at night on it when they park or whatever.
Is that an amendment? Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, maybe that's Senator the Met Olson. Council tweak.
Any other questions on the A-12 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to offer the A-19 amendment. This is an amendment that I'm sure all are anticipating, looking forward to voting on. This would take that motor vehicle lease sales tax revenue and split it according to the formula 60-36-4. If we're talking about multimodal transportation systems, you all are very good advocates for that. I appreciate that. Roads are part of that system, a very important part, and I hope that you'll use these dollars in the same way that we use the motor vehicle excise sales tax dollars according to this formula.
Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I think Senator Murphy described earlier, the internal balance that we had tried to strike in the transportation bill that we passed last year, in which license tab fees and gas tax, as well as the kind of the escalator on the gas tax that pays for bonding, $600 million per year, went only to the tax, the trunk highway or the highway user distribution fund, and part of our attempt to strike that balance was within the motor vehicle sales tax and the lease tax, and of course then it got completely unwound when we went down to a quarter cent for the transit, the transit ways piece, and then the lease tax piece got taken for the low income tax credit. And so the amendment or the change in the bill that we're looking at this year simply recognizes, trying to return to a little bit of that balance, also recognizes that we have this tremendous deficit in this coming biennium as well as the next biennium, and that's the reason for the mix. The split between Greater Minnesota and Metro Area Transit is the same as we do for the motor vehicle sales tax, and there is a certain amount that's taken off the top for county state aid, and that recognizes that earlier arrangement with the motor vehicle lease tax. So some of this does go to roads, and we continue to recognize that. So I would be opposed to this amendment.
Senator
Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think we need any discussion. Nobody's going to change their mind on this one. So I think we just need to vote.
We'll see if Senator Koch has a different opinion.
Mr. Chair, I have nothing brilliant to say. I would just say that balance is not 100% for transit. I support the motor vehicle sales tax transfer of 100% to roads to transportation because it's a user fee. This is also a user fee, and I think in the spirit of that amendment, we should do a 60-36-4 split. Thanks for bringing the amendment, Senator Ortman.
Senator Gimsey.
Mr. Chairman, I'd simply call for a roll call.
Senator Gimsey calls for a roll call. Any other questions on the A-19 amendment? Seeing none, Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair, everybody probably does know how they are going to vote, but I would just ask that I can understand how those who aren't in the Metro might be tempted to vote for this amendment, but I would just ask for people to vote no for this amendment.
Senator Scoy.
Mr. Chair, the only thing I'd say, Senator Bonhoff, is it's unfortunate that the Murphy Amendment earlier hadn't prevailed.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do a roll call vote.
Senator Murphy.
Yes.
Senator Bonoff?
No.
Senator Carlson?
No.
Senator Day?
Yes.
Senator Dibble?
No.
Senator Dahl?
No.
Senator Fischbach?
Yes.
Senator Gimsey?
Yes.
Senator Jungbauer?
Yes.
Senator Keelash?
No.
Senator Koch?
Yes.
Senator Langseth?
Yes.
Senator Moi?
No.
Senator Olsen?
No.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Ortman?
Yes.
Senator Rest?
No.
Senator Saltzman?
No.
Senator Sieben?
No.
And Senator Skoy?
Yes.
There being a tie vote at 10 each, the motion does not prevail. Senator Murphy, any other?
Mr. Chairman, I would move Senate File 1276 as amended be recommended pass and re-refer to the Committee on Finance.
Senator Murphy moves the Senate File 1276 as amended be recommended to pass and forward to the Committee on Finance. Senator Day.
I would just like to, Mr. Chairman, compliment Senator Murphy. I thought he did a good job putting his bill together, and we had a good time. There might be a few amendments for the floor, but nothing earth-shaking, but I think he did a good job putting this all together.
Well, thank Mr. Chairman, Senator Day, thank you, and I can't wait to see your floor amendments.
It'll probably be about trains.
Any other questions?
I like trains.
All in favor of the motion, Senator Murphy, to forward Senate File 1276 as amended to the Committee on Finance. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Dude.
There being no more business in front of the committee, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Smitty.